Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Welcome to episode 202 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and oh boy, how about some coaching to help life? So soon you're going to be hearing from our expert, Noelle Cordeau, all about, taking better care of a very special part of your life. Before we begin this terrific show, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Now, here's your first reminder, your official reminder, to click on iTunes after this episode and rate and review the show, because we sit around just waiting to hear from you. Your feedback is that important. You heard me right. Okay? So you'll be hearing from me again about this, but just get ready. Speaking of which, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
Well, how many of you have ever talked to a life coach? Someone who can kind of sit down and have a little conversation with you about, well, all things, how you're running things in your own life. Today we have Noelle Cordeau, who is CEO and co-founder of JRNI Coaching and the Catalyst Life Coaching Intensive. She's a feminist scholar, coach, speaker, and sexologist who specializes in the relationship with the self. She's carved out a unique niche in the world of coaching, combining positive psychology with clinical sexology to help her clients gain true progress. I love this whole concept of combining this type of coaching and knowledge of self with positive psychology. It's fabulous. Noelle, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. So what got you into the whole issue of executive and professional coaching? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So my story is deeply personal. I suffered from depression and eating disorders at a young age. And so my relationship with my own body was really fraught with confusion for a really long time. And once I stumbled upon the science of applied positive psychology, which is really and truly the science of happiness, how to cultivate it, how to own it, how to master it, and then I realized that that lens could be applied to the study of clinical sexology. That's when my brain exploded and I went down this rabbit hole.
Ah, okay. Now, there's a lot of our listeners in Her podcast land who are saying, what the heck is sexology? What is sexology?
Sexology is psychology, but with a narrow internal focus on all things sex, sexuality, gender, pleasure, the whole nine yards.
Oh my God. Well, you must be busy these days. I mean, it's like wild. It's like the Wild West, you know, as people are now redefining this entire sector, wouldn't you say?
I would. And the really fascinating thing about combining life coaching with clinical sexology is that, as near as I can tell, I'm the first person to really do research in this area, because the medical model, psychology, traditionally looks at dysfunction and what's wrong with us and where our pain points are. And life coaching and positive psychology looks at the future. What makes us happy? What do we want more of?
I love it. I love it. I think that this is an incredibly important differentiator, because you're right. I mean, I'm a physician. I kind of know that so much of what we do as providers, not just in medicine, but also psychology, et cetera, is really all about negative. What's wrong with you? How do we fix it? You're broken. that type of thing, rather than looking at, you know, this issue of happiness. You know, it's, I've watched this whole issue of this division of psychology, the positive psychology, evolve over the years. There are a lot of people who say, well, it's just a bunch of happy, wappy people who miss the whole point in life. Reality's tough. And so why are we going to this place? What do you say to people like that?
It really comes down to brain function, you know, when and how our internal systems function. I think that the science of applied positive psychology is really gorgeous in its complexity. And just even taking, you know, one facet. So say the juxtaposition of your nervous system, which is your stress response that generates cortisol and causes fight or flight, versus your endocrine system, which is the slow pulsing of feel-good hormones, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin. Each of those two systems have external triggers and internal triggers, and there's absolutely no reason why we can't consciously work on upping our endocrine system functioning to be inducing those feel-good hormones, just as our bodies naturally have our fight-or-flight mechanism triggered in response to stress and coping.
I see. Okay. So really, at the end of the day, it's not an either-or situation. Reality itself involves a heck of a lot of happiness and hope and ways to be able to navigate life's ever-changing, you know, panorama of stresses and tough times and good times. And so I never saw it as an either or. I saw it as more integrative, which is what I believe you're doing right now, which is kind of cool. Now, you said right here that it says you're on hiatus from your PhD in human sexuality from the Widener University. A PhD in human sexuality, that's really cool. Where are you going with that? What do you wish to do with that?
Thank you. So what I'm doing is taking taking a look at where the medical model leaves off. So I'm interested really specifically in what women experience with body image recovery from eating disorders and sexual trauma. So a lot of what we have built currently with the medical model is absolutely fantastic for dealing with acute care, acute circumstance, acute situations. But what happens after the acute care phase passes and people essentially need to move on with the rest of their lives? And I'm looking at using positive psychology to cultivate healthy body image, healthy sexuality, healthy relationships with yourself, with your psyche, taking a look at love mapping and rewriting narrative frameworks around healthy sexuality for people who've experienced trauma.
And go to the trauma place for a moment, please. Why trauma? Why did you bring that up?
Well, trauma changes the way that our brains and bodies work. And trauma isn't necessarily big T trauma. There's also little T trauma. And folks experience trauma in so many different ways throughout a lifespan. So this could be anything from maybe childhood bullying or teasing about a rounded belly to experiencing some very significant, violent, and or painful experiences as a child, adult, young adult that need to be dealt with conceptually in terms of how you see yourself and how you experience your sexuality.
Ah, okay. And so, you know, one of the things I'm very, very happy about is the fact that so much more therapy in general is becoming more trauma-based and trauma-centric, because quite frankly, when I say trauma, I want to make sure everybody out there understands. I'm not talking about, you know, you had an explosion in your house or, you know, a building fell on your head. Trauma's in the eyes of the beholder. It's abandonment, neglect, it's verbal, it's spiritual, it's physical, it's sexual, it goes on and on, all of the above. And I think that the grand majority of people were never really given the tools to be able to learn how to manage that, to cope with it, to adapt and adjust in a healthy way. And so I think it tends to manifest itself in aberrant and more self-destructive behaviors, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have thoughts and feelings, if you suppress them, they come out in other ways. And a lot of what I see is, especially regarding body and sexuality, people stuffing all those feelings really deep down because they believe there's something wrong with them. And then that coming out in terms of a shame response or some sort of repression of healthy and fun sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you really do sexual coaching, right?
Yes.
Okay. Define what someone would be really benefiting from if they sat down in front of you and they said, okay, I want sexual coaching. What are they, because I'm listening to this and it's kind of an interesting and intriguing, service. I love that. But I want to make sure everyone out there understands what it's all about. So why don't you define
Absolutely.
It? And what do you do when you're sitting and working with someone?
Yeah, so let's take coaching as a discipline in general, because whether I'm a sexuality coach or I'm a generalist life coach, the ethics and standards are the same. So most people are really familiar with therapy, and therapy is awesome. Coaching never wants to take anything away from the therapeutic model. When someone goes to see a therapist, it's usually because they're experiencing some sort of pain, anguish, or dysfunction, and they need to move to baseline to a position of wellness. Coaching takes that same person and just moves further down the continuum of wellness past the point of baseline into a scenario of peak flourishing. So coaches typically work with someone who is reasonably well to move to a state in which they're living what they would define for themselves as their best life. So from mm-hmm. a sexuality perspective, basic coaching model is where are you now? Where do you want to be? And what's getting in the way? And I'll give you two examples from clients that I currently have on my docket right now.
Excellent.
I do a lot of work in the area of alternative relationships. So I'm working with a client who has dabbled in alternative relationship models. She's played around with swinging. She's interested in polyamory. She comes from a religious background that has given her a lot of frameworks around what sex is and what sex isn't. She's learning that she likes to have an emotional connection with a sexual partner. Hey, that's great. That's called demisexual. Totally normal, totally natural. Not everyone feels that way. And so she wants to move to a place where she can experience her own version of alternative relationship style that works for her specifically. And then in the world of eating disorder recovery, I have a client who's newly divorced. She has long struggled with binge eating disorder. She wants to be out there. She wants to be dating. She wants to move on with her life. What's getting in the way? It's this concept of I'm ashamed of my body. I can't leave the house. I'm not sure how to engage and interact with food. So we have to really rework a lot of her narrative frameworks around, you know, why does this stuff happen? Where are the historical roots of female oppression around the body? And how do we move you forward to a place where you can take control of your time again?
I see. Okay. What does the issue of sexual health, et cetera, emerge when you're talking about eating disorders as well?
Sexual health in what context?
In the sense that when you're looking at someone who has, say, for instance, binge eating disorder, and, you know, many people who have that have also had trauma in their past, and they could have had sexual trauma. So how do you then help them understand how to reframe what happened and how to be able to develop a better way to cope than binging?
Sure. So this particular client has not disclosed to me any type of sexual trauma in the past. And the way that I deal with that contextually when it comes up is when you're in a coaching scenario, there are boundaries. And so if someone was really having a hard time grappling with what happened to them in the past and had never opened it up and taken a look at it and dealt with it, I would refer that client back to therapy. If someone comes to me and says, hey, I have this traumatic past, I've dealt with it in therapy, I've done this work, I'd like to move forward with designing my life around it while carrying this trauma with me, cool, awesome, we're good to go. Let's talk about what that trauma means to you, how you want to carry it, how it might fit into your love map, has it changed your turn-on template, what do you like now, what do you want to experience in the future, and let's roll with it.
So what would you do in a case where you had eating disorders, some sexual trauma? How do you parse it all and make sense of it for your client?
Absolutely. So as I described the continuum that exists between coaching and therapy, if someone came to me and they disclosed trauma that they had never dealt with in the past and they were just opening it up for the first time, I would say, you know what? This really isn't suitable for coaching. I would refer that client back to therapy to work with someone to really process what happened to them and come to terms with their life story, remembering that coaching picks up when someone is reasonably well. If someone comes to me and they say, I have this trauma in my past, I've been to therapy, I've dealt with it, I'm ready to move on with my life, awesome. That's the kind of person that I want to work with. So we take a look at that trauma and say, okay, what do you want to do with it? Because in a coaching scenario, my job as a coach is to believe my client. So what does my client want to do with their trauma? How does that client want to carry their trauma with them? How do they want it to inform their sexuality? How may it have changed their love map? And then we roll with it based on their wishes for the future.
You know, so many people don't even realize how traumatized they've been for a lot of reasons. One is, who wants to think about it? Two, they've tried to bury it and did this whole gig with, hey, I've just moved on with life, let's just not dwell on it, type of thing, without realizing it's had a significant impact on just about every aspect of their life. And so I know that you very carefully will, you know, help guide someone to that realization and then help them figure out steps going forward where they can integrate a higher level of awareness of self and knowledge, as well as the importance of integrating that into their entire lifestyle, including the issue of sexual health and making that optimal and robust as they define it for themselves. Do you find, as a last question, that it's easier in certain respects to talk about some of these issues today versus, say, gosh, 20 years ago, that the environment has changed, that newspaper and, you know, iPad and iPhone headlines are different? People are having a much more diverse kind of experience and discussion about all things sex?
Yes. And specifically dealing with trauma and how people carry it forward, for me and my work, the Me Too movement has drastically changed the conversation, where people feel able to say, this thing happened to me, and it has had long-term ramifications for my life and my experience of sexuality, period.
Huh. Okay. Well, you know something? That whole Me Too movement has just made your life a little bit easier in the sense because now you can sit there and just say, okay, mm-hmm. And it's just everything's open now. Definitions are changing. The way people refer to one another is changing. And it's fascinating to watch all of this be birthed over the course of the last, gosh, really, honestly, couple years, 2-3 years. And so
I'd say last two.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Because, of course, you know, Me Too is quite young. But just all of this coming out, and including in multimedia, how common it is now to see so much in multimedia. It's fascinating. So I want to make sure everyone out there knows that we've been talking to Noelle Cordeau. Now, Noelle is the CEO and co-founder of JRNI Coaching and the Catalyst Life Coaching Intensive. Go on over to her website, and it's JRNI dot, is that C-O-M or C-O?
It's dot C-O, and JRNI stands for Journey.
Ah, love it. JRNI, Journey, dot co, C-O, to learn more about Noelle's wonderful work. We've had a great discussion, one that I know has enlightened a lot of you. And, you know, if you have issues, you know, isn't it wonderful to know that you've got the help and support out there, especially with people who've gone to all the trouble to get the certifications and the education to be able to help you on your life journey. So, Noelle, once again, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for the conversation.
Awesome. And everyone out there, okay, here's your next official little reminder. Now run on over to iTunes right now, rate and review the show because we want to hear from you. What you think about this conversation? What came to mind? I want to hear about it. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. And guess what? I want to thank every single one of you for tuning in today and listening. And stay well.